This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Punish me, sister, with brutality, sister. Talk to me, sister, so you can see, sister. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on?
Lucas, you can keep that music going. I got a little story here. So Marvin Gaye just had a stamp, in his honor, and they did the ceremony actually in St. Louis yesterday. Marvin Gaye was one of the great singers, you know, of all time. Of course, he was Motown. And so he was also a lover of football. And he tried out with the Detroit Lions. And their Hall of Fame defensive back, Lem Varney, befriended him. And Marvin Gaye allowed Lem Varney to be a backup singer on this one, What's Going On, which became one of his greatest hits. So we had Lem Varney at the television station the other day, and he talked about how, you know, Marvin tried out with the Lions and tried him at receiver, tried him at defensive back. He was a good athlete, but not good enough to play in the NFL. They became buddies, and Lem Varney could really sing, and he showed us his name on the album. He has one of those gold albums from this song, What's Going On. All right, let's switch topics, talk a little soccer. We're joined by Mr. Soccer, Bill McDermott. Bill, good to be with you. How are you?
Fine, Frank. How you been?
Real good. Much good to discuss. Let's begin on a sad note. Kind of a soccer hero and a kind of a legendary figure in these parts has passed away, John Trena. Tell me a little bit about him.
Yeah, John Trena, an absolute icon, along with so many of the other players from the St. Ambrose and the senior years of amateur soccer here in St. Louis, Frank. That St. Ambrose team in particular, with Pete and John Trena in the midfield running the show on a regular basis. We idolized them. They influenced generation after generation of young soccer players growing up here in St. Louis, in particular players of my particular era. But John and Pete Trena, along with so many other names from Down on the Hill, Henry Merlo, John Gallimberti, Nick Reggio, Frank Borghi, Gino Periani. But really at the top of the list for people of our generation, mid to late 60s, early 70s, Pete and John Trena, they were the hallmark of excellence. And we idolized watching them play against, Kutus, White Star, the big games on at Heine Miney, Fairgrounds, Crinolet Park. So this is there's been a death in the soccer family in St. Louis, and he will be sorely missed. A man of grace and a presence who carried himself exactly the same way on the field.
What would they draw attendance-wise at Heine Miney Field for a big matchup with Kutus involved?
Oh, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people, Frank, and there were no stands to speak of. You would literally ring the field, much the same it was at Fairgrounds number 1 when St. Louis University played a big game. There'd be a tarp put up around the entire perimeter of the field. So consequently, people couldn't sneak into the field on a regular basis. But when St. Ambrose played against teams like any kind of a game down at Heine Miney, in particular against Kutus or White Star, they played many other teams in the CYC Major League. But in particular, in major cup games, amateur and our open cup games, it was a difficult time just getting out of St. Louis to represent St. Louis when you had to play against teams like when St. Ambrose played against White Star or Kutus. So these games influenced countless generations of soccer players, and as I mentioned, in particular, players of my age.
All right, let me get a quick MLS thought from you. Mm-hmm. Sacramento unveiled their renderings for their new stadium, and I think as soon as that came out, everyone in St. Louis thought, well, they seem to be taking a step up on St. Louis. What's your take on the whole thing?
Well, what I read into it, Frank, is as I saw the piece about the renderings, for the first time, also included in that particular release of the renderings was the fact that there's a meeting upcoming with the City Council of Sacramento, whereby they're going to discuss a public-private partnership. That had not been mentioned before in any piece I had read. But the league meetings, with reference to so many other things going on with MLS, but in particular expansion, obviously, the league meetings are in Los Angeles on April 18th, and then there is another set of important league meetings in conjunction with the MLS All-Star Game, which is going to be played in July. So I think, I don't know this for a fact, because Don Garber and the entire expansion committee really play it close to the vest, not really leaking out any information whatsoever other than to say a decision is coming soon. I think sometime between the April meetings and the July meetings, a decision will be made.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's going to happen that April 17th, 18th time period that they're going to make an announcement.
Yeah, I don't believe so, Frank. And I talked with Jim Cavanaugh and Carolyn Kendall Betts yesterday on a totally different matter, and the scenario has not yet developed by any means whereby they would name Team 28 and 29, in other words, name St. Louis and Sacramento at the same time. There's been a lot of conjecture about that, but that is by no means definite either.
Hmm. Good stuff, Bill. We appreciate your time. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you very much, Frank. Bye now.
All right. Bill McDermott joining us, Hollywood Casino Press Box. One of our fine sponsors is the Gatesworth, the finest in senior living. If you're looking for a place for mom or dad, aunt or uncle, grandma or grandpa, we recommend the Gatesworth. They threw a lovely 92nd birthday party for my mom, Mary Grace, over the weekend. They were spectacular. They just rolled out the red carpet, great menu, cake. They gave us the movie room so we could play a film of my mom and her husband and how that beautiful relationship evolved over 51 years. The Gatesworth, the finest in senior living. Speaking of Marvin Gaye, his death at the age of 44, I believe, I think it was the day before his 45th birthday, was just crazy. He had a really bad relationship with his father, Marvin Gaye Sr., since his childhood. And Marvin Sr. was a Christian minister who was a strict disciplinarian and often physically punished his children. He was also, according to reports, a cross-dresser, which was commonly known in the family's D.C. neighborhood. And it made the younger Marvin a target of bullying. And it was because of this, added with rumors of Marvin's own sexuality, that Marvin added an E to his last name when he became famous.
Oh.
And Gaye's father never approved of his son's career in music, and he grew resentful that Gaye was closer to his mother and had become the breadwinner for the family. So they had a brief improvement in their relationship after Gaye found success with the album What's Going On. Father and son never found lasting peace. And then at the end, so they had an argument. So in the days prior to his death, they had an argument over a misplaced insurance policy letter. The day before his death, the argument spread to Gaye's bedroom, angered by his father confronting his mother. Gaye commanded Marvin Sr. to leave her alone. Marvin Sr. complied without incident, and there was no violence that night. But he continued yelling throughout the house. And then, like the next day, an impatient Marvin Sr. shouted at his wife about the insurance document. And then Gaye, dressed in a maroon robe, shouted back downstairs, telling his father that if he had anything to say, he better do it in person. And according to Alberta, when Marvin Sr. refused his son's request, Gaye warned him not to come into his room. Marvin Sr., however, instead charged upstairs to the bedroom to verbally attack Alberta over the document, causing Gaye to jump out of his bedroom and once again order his father out of the room. When it didn't work, Gaye, enraged and despondent, reportedly shoved his father out of the room and into the hallway and subjected him to some severe physical violence, notably kicking and punching. Alberta later told people Marvin hit him. I shouted for him to stop, but he paid no attention to me. He gave my husband some hard kicks. And then the father came into the room and shot the son twice and killed him. Wow. I'm surprised this wasn't a movie, you know? This is one of the most famous singers in Motown history. What a crazy ending to a life. All right, let's take a short time out. And with that note, we'll welcome Martin Kilcoyne to the program right after this.